standpoint, even more of a ho-hum than the 7.62mm rifle rounds that had been thrown at them earlier. The burst of automatic weapon fire kicked up a line of dust puffs between Gebhardt and the missile truck. As quickly as it started, the shooting stopped. 6 rounds fired. Gebhardt looked at the side of the rocket and was relieved to see no evidence of bullet strikes. Meanwhile, the shooter, who wore a brimmed hat and eyeglasses, ducked back behind cover. Out of sight, he shouted his demand. In exchange for the safety of the missile, he wanted the return of the one-eyed man. Through the helmet comlink came Ackerman's explosion of laughter.
Who does he think we are? Fucking CEOs? He's got Ice Nine for brains if he thinks we've got the power to make any kind of a trade.
Maybe we've landed on the planet of the dopes.
There's no way we can arrange a swap, but our shadow friends out there can put the missile or the satellite out of commission with a single well-placed bullet. When I give the word, kill them if you can, but make sure you drive them off.
The colonel keyed his external speaker and assured the shooter that their mission was peaceful. The shadow man responded by issuing his final ultimatum. If they didn't comply, he was going to drill the missile with bullets.
Do you believe the stones on this guy? He's asking to get his butt relocated up under his chin.
Hey, Colonel! Tell him the only dicks that are going to do anything memorable around here are ours.
Gebhardt did nothing of the kind. He had no intention of provoking a fight just yet. Instead, he told the shooter he needed until dawn to close the deal. Actually, he needed about 20 seconds, the time it took for his people to unobtrusively work their way into position.
10.
The man in the hat 9, didn't go for the stall.
8,
in a loud, clear voice,
7,
he started counting down from 10. As the man in the hat broke into a run, the colonel switched over to helmet comm.
Get that fucker! Saw the bastard in two!
Before he could reach his tri-barrel, gunfire pounded the street from two sides. It came head-on at the missile, at 600 rounds per minute, and in widely spaced single shots from the other end of the street. The hail of bullets sailed all around him. Ricochets skipped off the ground and rattled into the sides of the missile truck. Cursing, Gebhardt swung the laser rifle to his shoulder. As he did so, the autofire stopped. The aggravatingly slow single shots persisted at his back. The colonel didn't take the time to hook up the weapon to the optics of his battle suit, but laid the rifle's open sights on the pile of rubble that Hatman was using for cover and squeezed the front trigger. A bolt of pure energy turned the moisture trapped inside the material to nuke-heated steam in about a femtosecond. With a solid whack and a big puff of dust, the chunk of concrete exploded. Hatman had cover, but not for long. The colonel quickly detonated 3 more slabs of concrete, forcing the shooter to abandon his hide. The man ran like a bush bunny, very low and very fast across the rubble field. As he zigzagged from one cover to the next, because of the poor shot angle, the colonel was unable to take him out. Gebhardt lowered the weapon, and 2 more single shots came from the rear. The bullets made hollow funks as they struck high on the unprotected side of the missile. When he turned, he saw a pair of dark slashes in the rocket's bottom stage, about 6 inches apart, just below the thrust ring. There were 3 other dents as well, clustered above the second stage's stabilizing fins. As much as he wanted to scream at that moment, he didn't. There was too much to do. He quickly checked the map grid to make sure their attackers were in full retreat, then ordered his people back to inspect the exterior of the missile and its payload for other damage. With all of them on the job, the survey took less than 10 minutes to complete, and when it was done, the colonel asked the systems engineer for a damage report.
Give me the good news first.
No worries on the second stage. I think we're looking at some minor repairs to the guidance controls, which we can make in a few hours. But I don't like those 2 rips in the first stage, Booster. It's possible we've got something more serious going on inside there. From the position of the damage, we could even have a small breach in the main engine housing.
No one said a word. They just stared at the twin slashes in the missile's white skin. An engine breach could mean a fuel leak, and a fuel leak meant disaster. The door to Shadow World might have just slammed shut. Gebhardt broke the heavy silence.
Okay, let's not panic just yet. Let's get the damaged outer panels off the bottom stage and see what we're really looking at.
Her head reeling, Mildred raised herself on an elbow. The canyon around her reverberated with the sounds of gunfire and explosions. As she tasted her own blood in her mouth, she had no idea what had happened, except that she had been leveled, blindsided, and that Christy lay unmoving, sprawled across her legs. The redhead's prehensile hair hung as lank and limp as string. For an instant, Mildred thought the woman was dead. With a sinking heart, she squirmed out from under Christy's weight and checked for a pulse at her throat. It was there, weak and thready. What scared her worse was the state of Christy's pupils, which were so dilated that her emerald green eyes looked almost black. She was still alive, but only just. Mildred quickly examined her for evidence of a wound and found none. Christy's skin was pale and clammy to the touch. She showed the signs of having suffered an overwhelming traumatic shock. About the time Mildred finished her exam, the gunfire stopped. She caught a flicker of movement across the rubble field to the north. It was Doc, Dean, and Jack circling away from Moonboy's city center. The attack had been a bust. Time to bag it, girl, she told herself. After stuffing Christy's sidearm into a pocket of her fatigues, she wrestled the unresisting woman into a fireman's carry. Though Mildred had a stocky build with powerful legs, it was a tough job lugging Christy over broken ground. She hurried as fast as she could after her companions, but she couldn't catch up with them. She was unwilling to call out for help for fear of drawing an attack her way. Burdened as she was, she knew she'd make an easy target. Mildred had carried Christy across a quarter mile of ruination when the redhead let out a soft groan. When she continued to complain on every step, it was clear she was coming around. Mildred carefully set her down behind a toppled light post.
Come on, Christy. Snap out of it.
Mildred gripped her shoulders in both hands and gave them a shake.
Open your eyes.
When the woman did so, Mildred examined her pupils again and found them nearly back to normal.
Releasing a big burst of power like that made me weak as a kitten.
It nearly did more to you than that. So it was you who walloped me like that. I thought I'd been run down by a truck.
The lane was mined. Didn't see until it was too late. I just reacted, I guess. Sorry, Mildred.
You don't have to apologize for saving my life. We've got to move now. Can you walk by yourself?
I think so.
They caught up with the others behind a heap of boulders at the foot of the ridge, near the spot where they'd made their descent.
Until Dean looked back and saw you coming, we thought you were dead.
JB held a bloody handkerchief to the side of his face.
Nearly were.
We never even got a shot off. Did you do any damage?
Don't know for sure.
JB let Mildred take a look at the slash high on his cheek.
We didn't stick around to tally up the score. But I think we must have hit something vital or they'd already be on top of us.
Either that, or our best efforts made no impression on them at all, and they simply cannot be bothered hunting down such insignificant annoyances.
Doc completed the laborious reloading of his revolver's cylinder.
Well, one thing's for sure. We can't tell beans from down here. Got to climb back up the ridge if we want a wreck. Better hurry up before it gets too dark to see.
By the time they regained the summit and were back in position overlooking the main street, the visibility had dropped in a big way. A world of vibrant color had been reduced to harsh black and shades of gray. By the light of the stars and a three-quarter moon, they could just make out shadowy figures moving in the darkness around the rocket and gantry. The black-armored strangers apparently could do their work by the available light, and they did so in silence. When JB had seen enough, he signaled for a retreat from the edge of the cliff. Back behind the ridgetop pinnacles, JB spoke when the others gathered around him.
They could just be prepping the missile for launch. No way to tell whether we hit it, or if we did, if we heard it any.
Back to square one, then.
Square zero. We've got no options left. We just proved that we can't blackmail them into giving us Ryan back. We can't hurt them, but they can chill us whenever the mood strikes. Because they won't give ground down there, we can't force our way close to where that hole appeared and try to go in after Ryan. It doesn't look good for him.
There's got to be a way. My Gaia power worked against those bastards' machines. Maybe I could use it to take them out, too.
You've already used yourself up. You try that again and all you'll succeed in doing is killing yourself. And that won't help Ryan out of the trouble he's in.
From the deep shadows of the canyon below, two engines started up. One they all recognized. It belonged to the black aircraft.
We might be on the verge of some trouble ourselves.
Major Oswaldo Lujan slithered over mounded heaps of bacterial